breakfast. This is the Catch Up Podcast of Dylan and Angus. Saturdays and Sundays from 7 to 9 on the Hit Network.
Woof, what a 24 hours it's been since our last show.
How'd you go? Because yesterday morning at about 8 o'clock, you announced that you were having a baby.
First ever baby, yeah.
First child on the way with your beautiful partner, Emily.
Yep.
Social media has exploded for you.
Been a lot. It's been a very overwhelming just kind of like catching up on the text messages of like friends who didn't know. Also, yeah, just the people, you know, it's been hundreds and hundreds of comments on my Instagram and stuff. So it's been incredibly lovely, but yeah, overwhelming. And it's out there now. The secret is out. So if you missed the announcement yesterday, we're going to replay that for you up next, but not the moment that I told you, Dylan, which sounded a lot like this.
No way. Is that real?
What is the video of?
It's an ultrasound. It's not yours, is it?
I'm going to be a dad.
Off, bro. That's amazing.
But up next, I'm going to tell you or replay you what we talked about yesterday, which was some of the moments because of a COVID-19 pandemic and a Victorian lockdown, the difficulties around being a father for the first time and not being allowed to be in some of the scans.
Yeah, and also coming up, once we get rid of that, you know, crap news that no one really cares about.
No.
It's the biggest news in Australian radio.
That's what I'm waiting for.
We're going to be naming this week's Wayne Kerr of the Week.
The Wayne Kerr of
Finally,
the Week Award.
Finally, we can get rid of that baby chat. Jeez, it's been one day.
We'll get rid of the baby chat next, and then it's time for the Wayne Kerr of the Week.
Weekend breakfast with Dylan and Angus.
You're going to be a dad, bro.
I am. Yesterday, I dropped the news.
It's so cool.
Yeah, it is.
And I caught myself yesterday just looking at the photo of you holding the ultrasound with your partner, Emily. It's real.
It's real. Yeah, it's on my Instagram at Angus_OL to see the official photo that you have to put up. In fact, mine's a little video. A little different.
Good tunes on the background of the video too.
Let's not get into that. That's an accident, the music that's in the background, but I couldn't. There's too many comments before I realised that I couldn't take it down.
I got it.
Oh, don't play the sound, man. The music makes it. It sounds like I'm taking the Mickey out of my own child. It's the default sound for my phone, and I didn't know it was on there. And I'm upset about that.
I was playing it yesterday in
studio. I'm pretty flat about that, but I already had like 100 comments before I realised.
You go, what's that sound? I go, it's on your video, bro. And you go, no.
I was so upset. But also, apart from the exciting, amazing news of new life coming in 2021 in February, I did announce yesterday that during the pandemic, we're in Victoria, the stage 4 lockdown. It's been quite difficult to be a first-time father and a first-time mother for my girlfriend as well. Here are some of the things we spoke about yesterday about what we're going through. It's amazing now to tell everybody because it's secret. It's been really easy to keep this secret. Emily's not really showing yet, but she's got a small bump. But because we're at home, no one asks questions. Like, no one knows that Emily's got the top button of her jeans off. And no one knows that she hasn't been drinking for the last 8 weeks since we found out. So we found out at 5 weeks, so quite early on.
And people walking past your house probably think she has been drinking because there's plenty of bottles out the front.
Oh, don't worry, I've been making up for the both of us. But it's been that year, you know, 2020. This year truly has probably been the worst of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my dog, Buckets, 7 years old, a couple of weeks ago.
Your best mate, beautiful Buckets.
Yeah, you know, and it's kind of this, you know, I'm seeing it as a transition of sorts. You know, I lost the life of the thing that I was closest to, apart from my family, and he is family, of course. But then, you know, also having the joy of something coming through, it kind of feels like this magical connection between the two of them.
I thought about that when you told me.
Yeah.
The world sometimes works in a wonderful way, you know what I mean?
And I'm glad that he or she will announce next week the gender, but I'm glad that he or she is going to be born next year in 2021 because I'll be happy to scrap the calendar on this year.
Mm-hmm.
But the real hero of this story is Emily.
Yep.
We're in Victoria. We've made that pretty clear at the moment, and we're in lockdown. Her family's in Sydney.
Yeah, so how did you guys announce news not knowing you could get together?
We actually got together. We found it really early. Emily called her mum as soon as she found out. We didn't know. So the doctor was like, just do a pregnancy test. She had a sore stomach. And then Em called her mum straight away because they're super close. And we luckily got to Sydney a couple of weeks after that, in between the second wave of Victoria lockdown. So we did get to announce to her dad and her brothers and her close family in person, which was amazing. But it's been really difficult for both of us. But, you know, Emily's been the rock. You know, her family, who, like I said, she's so close to, you can't get over how close his family is. She hasn't been able to share that journey physically with her family and friends in New South Wales. And that's tough.
Yeah.
It's her first child. And,
what about your mum?
Yeah, my mum's over the moon. I mean, she's in the tears. Every time she looks at Emily now, she just cries. So mum's over the moon, and we got to, obviously, mum's in Victoria, so we got to say that. But we won't be able to see her for the next 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tough for her. And I know everyone's going through a lot with COVID. You know, this is just our little journey and our obstacle to get over in this time. But as a first-time dad, I haven't been allowed to go to a couple of scans and a couple of appointments.
Oh, yeah.
It's been pretty difficult.
Yep.
Luckily, I was able to go to the first. I haven't been able to go into the hospital since. It's been really difficult because we had the 13-week scan during the week and I just had to drop Emily off at the hospital and wait
sit out
the front. And here's the thing. If I have to do that, then somebody just stay 1.5 metres away from someone in a supermarket. Stand on the stickers.
Or if you've got COVID, don't go out.
Yeah, one in four people weren't at home when they should have been quarantined, you know, from police tests in Victoria recently. And it's really tough because, you know, Emily came back into the car on a high. You know, she'd just seen our baby for the first time.
Felt a heartbeat, yeah.
The 13 weeks. Well, luckily, I have heard the heartbeat.
Okay.
But, you know, 13 weeks, he or she's now formed. You know, there's nose, there's fingers, there's toes. And it was just a little jelly bean on that 7-week scan. And so I kind of missed that. Even though, you know, there was a USB with all the information on it and whatnot, it was pretty tough to miss those scans. And I'm going to miss the ones in the future as well. But I understand the process of what we're in. But apart from that, I mean, that's a slight negatives on what is incredible news, life-changing news.
Big responsibility for me as well as godfather.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not religious.
Well, Emily is.
Having a baby during a COVID-19 stage 4 lockdown. Difficult, but still amazing, and we're making it our normal.
And can everybody please keep doing the right thing so you can be there a part of the process, Gus?
Absolutely. I'd love to be able to see my baby on the way. And next week, we'll announce the gender on air.
Weekend Breakfast with Dylan and Angus.
And it's time for...
Which lucky person has earned this week's title of...
Wanker of the Week!
Now, before your ears deceive you, that's the Wayne Kerr of the Week, of course, for kids in the car.
And
Wayne
also,
Kerr.
If your name is Wayne Kerr, give us a call.
Yeah.
131060.
Surely your parents wouldn't be that mean.
There'd have to be a Wayne Kerr.
Oh, God, baby names. Oh. That's something I've got to get into. The difficulty.
Are you having a baby?
I'm having a baby. You wouldn't know it.
On names. Oh, my God, you get to name it.
I get to name a baby.
God,
and it's with that for life.
I've never been so excited about a mate having a baby. I feel like I'm going to be involved.
Every step of the way. I'll be talking you through it.
I was there for the first step.
Oh. You weren't there.
How do you? Maybe I was.
No, you weren't.
I could have been.
You weren't.
Could have been in the corner.
I've got to step up to my house.
Yeah, but
so
I could have been hiding behind the drawers.
Yeah.
This week's Wayne Kerr of the Week goes to the whole of the US government. Now, you might think there's many reasons why the US government could be called Wayne Kerrs of the Week.
Right.
You know? A lack of control of the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Not putting restrictions in.
But also like Donald Trump, like hiding behind the wrong statistics and being pulled up this week.
That interview.
Amazing.
Check it out
online. That Australian journalist I've never heard or
Guess
seen him before.
Guess who it is, bro? Do you know who? His name's Jonathan Swan. Dr. Norman Swan. You know the guy who does all the really good coronavirus stuff? CoronaCast, the podcast?
Yeah. It's
his son.
Number one on the charts. I didn't know that.
Son.
Oh, so he has the facts.
Yeah. So he knows what he's talking about. Anyway, the US government wins it this week, not because they're telling people not to wear masks, but because the US government has warned its citizens to be very, very cautious about travelling to New Zealand.
Of all places, New Zealand?
Because of our 23 active cases over the last 2 months.
You're kidding. How many is in America? Like hundreds of thousands?
Well, they've had 170,000 deaths.
Deaths?
Deaths, bro.
Oh, my God. And they're warning... About New Zealand?
That's it. According to the US government's travel advice website, it recently increased the caution when traveling to New Zealand. It placed New Zealand on level 2 on its travel advisory systems, which asks its citizens to exercise extreme caution if going to New Zealand. The people of New Zealand don't have to worry, because guess what? Every American's banned anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, you reckon Jacinta's letting you in? And that's why the US government is...
Weekend Breakfast with Dylan and Angus.
Time for...
I'm about to share an opinion I believe is only in the minority. Horses no longer a needed species.
Brian Gosling is not hot.
Parking inspectors as people flogs. All of them.
Another one of Angus's unpopular opinions.
This is a segment where Angus risks our...
Yeah, we're a team.
...radio career by talking about something that... Majority of the time is in the minority.
Well, I had an opinion yesterday on the show as well.
Yeah, you said that it's great that international travel can't happen for 2 years. You put the disclaimer because you were saying it was great because then we could travel rurally to a place in Australia. That I agree
with. Keep our money in our economy.
But that is actual bull dust because...
So you think.
you just don't want us to travel because you're having a baby and you won't be able to travel forever and your life's over. No, your life's not over. It's just beginning, but you know. This, what do you got for us?
This unpopular opinion has to do with COVID-19. A lot of people love to point a finger, especially at the government. Now, I'm not saying the government's been great. We live in Victoria. We've been quite open about that the last few weeks, even though we like to say that we represent the whole of the country as we've lived in every single state.
Convicts in our own country.
That's right. Home. But as we live in stage four lockdown, Dan Andrews is on our television, the Premier of Victoria, every single night with an update.
Cannot wait to buy Dan Andrews a beer. And not being political, not saying like either side, that guy fronts up every day. Oh,
with the bad news of deaths overnight, but new cases.
Bags under his eyes, not sleeping. Hope he's doing all right.
A lot of people go, Dan Andrews, you've handled this horribly. COVID-19 wouldn't be in the situation and the state that it's in had it not been for you. But I can tell you, as a person living in Victoria, I have heard friends, family, neighbours, back when the first wave was kind of what we thought coming to an end, right? And Sydney, for example, had lifted up their restrictions, so there was 10 people allowed in a house at Sydney at one time, and we weren't allowed any. And I know all of my friends, neighbours, family, were like, Dan Andrews, stop being a communist.
People call him a dictator.
Yep. Let us out. The coronavirus is over. And then once he lifted up the restrictions, bang, second wave hits and look at the situation we're in. And now everyone's going, Dan Andrews, you didn't do enough. I tell you where the coronavirus came from, where the problem was, me, you, and everybody listening. Mm-hmm. We didn't socially distance enough. We didn't wear masks when told. We had to make that law. It's our own fault. Before you start pointing fingers, look at yourself first and go, did I do enough? Did I isolate? Did I follow the guidelines given to us by medical professionals?
And I don't think you're preaching in this point, but everybody deep down knows they've done something that isn't part of the rules.
We are the problem. We should have been better. Stop pointing fingers. COVID-19 can be controlled by human population.
Yeah. Also, shout out to the Busy Dick security guard.
Oh, that guy in Melbourne, the security guard who slept with people who were coronavirus positive. Not only are you the wanker of the year, but this unpopular opinion is probably popular. You're a wanker.
Weekend Breakfast with Dylan and Angus.
Coming up before 8 o'clock this morning, Donald Trump has said some whack things over the past couple of years since he's been the president of the free world. But this one might take the cake. This one's just funny. I mean, he said some really horrible stuff politically. He's bullied. But what he said during the week was just goddamn funny.
It was.
We've got the audio for you coming up a little later on.
But we work in broadcast journalism. Do we call this
journalism? Do we? Someone called me a journalist during the week. I was like, nah, mate.
Did you hear me laugh? I can't even say that.
I know.
We work in broadcasting, right? And a lot of things can go wrong. We have a few security guards set up in the system whereby if something goes wrong, we have like a 10-second buffer.
Yeah.
So if someone calls up and says, hey, my name's Stephen Packenham, I got a story about when did your best friend go surfing, and then they just drop a few F-bombs or whatever, they're out of here.
What you're hearing right now through the speakers, we said 10 seconds ago. Yeah. So we have an option to press a button and delete that 10 seconds, which will get rid of swear words. We've had to press it a couple of times.
Because people don't mean it, but it's just in their vernacular. They might accidentally say something. Also, I am also not in control because I have a microphone in front of me right now. There's no on or off button. Hello?
I can basically control Dylan's microphone.
See? You can control everything, right?
Yeah, so I got you're the buttons.
So, you know, we might do it a hilariously funny break because that's what we do.
Do we?
And then there might be so many callers and everyone's like, oh my God, that's Champagne Radio. And then we go to the song or to an ad break and Angus might forget to turn our mics off.
And maybe when we're chatting what we think is off air, we might say a swear word or something.
So you have a lot of, you have a lot of power.
Dylan.
You're an idiot.
Was that you?
So I just want to give a little shout out to someone who is in my position. Mm-hmm. A reporter called Lana Murphy. Now, she works for the Channel 9 News. So what news crews normally do is they pre-record their little bits. Mm-hmm. So when Peter Hitchener or whoever your news anchor is in your state goes, oh, I'm going to go down to Lana Murphy. Lana, what's going on down there? They play a live package, but it's called As Live, which means it's pre-recorded. So they normally send through a few different takes and then they take the best edit. This is what happened to poor Lana during the week.
Another man was intercepted 250 kilometres from his Apollo Bay home in the Macedon Ranges. He told officers he was on his way to
Now that went to where she said, F my life.
And the poor news anchors
had to apologise.
Oh, I was like, oh.
Sorry if you heard some bad language in the broadcast.
So to you, Lana, I'm with you. And to all the producers out there and all the people pushing the buttons, mm-hmm. like you, Angus, this one's on you, bro.
Well, Dylan, to give an example of that, how it can work in radio, I have supercut some of your audio together.
Here we go.
From yesterday's show, I went through, grabbed certain words, and I've cut you to say this sentence.
Hey, mate, your baby will be ugly.
And I announced yesterday on the show that I'm having a baby. And that's truly how you feel, apparently,
see?
Dylan.
See, I love your baby.
What?
That's weird.
Weekend Breakfast with Dylan and Angus.
Coming up after 8 o'clock this morning, have you been married in Vegas? Because one of us in the studio has and hasn't yet got a divorce.
It's not me.
And our partners don't really know about it yet. We're going to get into that after 8 o'clock.
Just want to make sure everyone knows it's definitely not me.
It could be Dylan.
Hey, guys, Dylan would not go to Vegas. One guy who would actually rip up Vegas, he's got a tower there, actually.
Trump Tower.
God, they're ugly, those towers.
Yeah, it's actually gold. Man. Yeah,
it looks rank.
Yeah.
I never thought I would say this, but obviously being the president, right, or being a prime minister or being any leader would be a very tough job. But one of the reasons why it would be very tough is you have to bang out a lot of speeches.
But they do have script writers, you know. They have someone who writes it all for them.
Exactly right. However, have you ever, I mean, I know you have done TV because you're saved in my phone as Angus O from TV. Because you had a TV gig on MTV for about 3 days.
And 3 months.
Did you ever read off a teleprompter?
Yes.
It's hard, man.
Oh, only a little bit though. Most of it was ad-lib. We did the first episode with a teleprompter and then we went, you know what? Quit try it without, and they never brought it back. But yes, it is difficult because sometimes it's going a little bit slow and then it speeds up and you've got to be like this.
So there's one person there with a little knob
yeah.
and they spin it for the speed. So they kind of track where you're speaking and it's up to them to kind of judge where you are on the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've done all like the project and I've done a bit. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's you get used to it, but.
And also we've seen, you know, Anchorman with Ron Burgundy. It can all go wrong. Yeah.
Well, that's going to do it for all of us here at Channel 4 News. You stay classy, San Diego. I'm Ron Burgundy.
Damn it. Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter? For the last time, anything you put on that prompter, Burgundy will read.
You just sometimes can't make mistakes that are just so easy, right? So when you're reading mm-hmm. these things, you know, you've still got to use your grasp of the English language mm-hmm. to not just read them verbatim and like actually use your words, especially if you're a president.
You got to know the names when you are the leader of the free world negotiating trade deals with all countries.
Exactly right. And citizens of Thailand were surprised and bemused on Friday to discover their country's name had become a social media meme with, as I said, nearly a million tweets in a day in the end after US President Donald Trump mispronounced it and couldn't say it. It's a well-known country, Thailand, yeah? It's not a small one.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going
to... I know, we know because we all go get drunk there.
Of course.
But everyone knows... Muay Thai.
Thai food.
Thai food. Pad Thai. Ready? This is how big Donald Trump rolls with Thailand.
Thailand. Thailand.
Thailand. I don't even know how you get thai out of T-H-A-I.
And he was bagging Thailand. He goes, Thailand has been stealing off America for years.
Thailand.
You just got to be better, Donald.
Now, before we go, Donald. When it comes to the chicken,
yeah.
are you a wing guy? You a breast guy? What piece of the chicken do you like the best? In fact, we know for sure because back in the 90s, Donald Trump did an ad for KFC.
What's he doing with the second drumstick?
Eating it.
I didn't get it until Jack left for college and he's 10.
They didn't have a drumsticks in his bucket when you were younger.
Kids now have it so good.
Tell me about it.
The KFC drumsticks and thighs bucket. 10 moist and juicy pieces for just $7.99.
Weekend Breakfast with Dylan and Angus.
Now, it was weeks ago that, Dylan, you made big news, international news, when you said it's discriminating against people with a disability to not include wheelchair tennis into the US Open, which was greenlit.
Yeah, well, it got greenlit. It was pretty upsetting for the wheelchair players, myself included, because they didn't ask us if we wanted to go, tell us about the process, why we weren't there, or the worst part, they didn't tell us we couldn't go. They just left it off the press conference.
Yeah, just kind of tried to hide you, sweep you under the rug.
So I was like, yo, what's up with that? Maybe a bit harsher than that. And you know what? A week later, I was in, good on them. They overturned their decision. So the US Open is still, at the moment, going ahead.
Do you know if Ash Barty's going?
Ash Barty's not going. Pulled out.
Not going.
Kyrgios pulled out. Rafa pulled out. So there's some big names pulling out.
Yeah.
And Kiggs actually did a pretty...
Who's Kiggs?
Nick Kyrgios. Kiggs.
Oh. Sorry. Didn't know that was his name.
Yeah, it's KYGS, Kyrgs.
Oh.
He's coming out looking golden out of this.
Kyrgios.
He's speaking so well.
For the first time, a lot of people agree with his ideas.
I will not be playing this year at the US Open. It hurts me at my core not to be out there competing in one of the sport's greatest arenas, Arthur Ashe Stadium. But I'm sitting out for the people, for my Aussies, for the hundreds and thousands of Americans who have lost their lives, for all of you. It's my decision, like it or not. And those are my reasons.
Dylan Alcott, you're still on the fence?
Yeah, so you know, I plan to go. Still a few things to go through. I got to say, he did a really good interview as well with Carl Stefanovic and Ali on the Today Show. And he said, look, he doesn't hold it against players going and the USM going ahead because they're doing so many great safety things, but he has chosen not to go. But he tell you what, he did a few drive-bys at the players who have been doing things wrong.
You have to act in the interests of each other and work together. You can't be dancing on tables, money grabbing your way around Europe, or trying to make a quick buck hosting an exhibition. That's just so selfish. Think of the other people for once. That's what this virus is about.
So that's Novak Djokovic pretty specifically, right?
Nah, there's heaps. Zverev, Koric, Grigor Dimitrov, they all have been playing cash tournaments, like exhibitions with crowds, and they all got coronavirus, but Novak was the leader of it.
Yeah, he did the partying.
You know, when you're at a workplace, right, everyone goes to work. Imagine just walking into work, right, and just ripping everyone apart and then having to sit down. That's what he's doing.
Mm.
And good on him because he stands for, and that behavior's been so wrong, and those players have also said they were very stupid in doing so. And then other players keep doing things.
Yeah, like, making the mistakes.
And it makes it hard because, you know, the Australian Open wants to go ahead in January. All the players are going to have to come here in quarantine. And I know the government's going to be like, can we trust these guys to be doing these kinds of things? You know what I mean? Because, and hopefully everybody at the US Open does the right thing because they can't have another scandal of people, you know, going there. One thing I will say, we're all going to be living in a bubble and you can't leave. If you step foot out of the bubble, you kicked out.
It's kind of like the NBA being at Disneyland.
And we're going to get tested every day and things like that. But hey.
So you're still at the moment going. When are you going to make the decision?
When we find out if I can then go to Europe or come back to Australia because you can't go to the US without those waivers. There's no way. So I'll keep you updated.
All right.
And I'll do a decision video too.
Weekend Breakfast with Dylan and Angus.
Yesterday on the show, made a life-changing announcement, the biggest announcement I've ever made, which is I'm having a baby.
I honestly thought you were going to get a new radio job when you told me you had a big surprise. Kate, Tim and Angus.
Yeah, no, that's not the announcement. I'm having a baby, February 10, 2021.
Would you take that gig if you got it?
Absolutely.
After you told me that you're having a baby, I found a video of a dad online who was like you, all party, no responsibility, just thought it was all going to be gravy.
It's not my life.
That definitely is your life. And he listed some things.
Mm.
He was like, these are the things I wasn't ready for. And I'm going to ask you right now.
Interesting.
See if you're ready for them.
I haven't. I've got one of my best mates, Jack, has a baby who's a year old, Aspen, up on the Sunshine Coast. I've talked to him a couple of times, but I haven't looked at anything online. Emily's like, you read anything about being a dad for the first time? I was like, nah, just going
to
wing it.
You've got to read those books, man.
Yeah, I'll get to it. I'll get seven. I'll get like seven. How long have I got?
Firstly,
6 months.
Are you prepared to have no life anymore? No social life? Might not be able to go to the gym?
No, I think I can figure my way around it. Luckily this job allows me to spend a lot more time with the kid than most dads. So I feel very blessed to be able to do that. And I think I'll be able to find my own time away from that. Because I'll be able to give Emily that time away as well.
If we still have this job, please.
Oh, yeah. Our contracts aren't signed. We are still available for 2021.
You love having a froth with your mates.
I do love a frothy.
When the pub's open again and everything's back to normal, which hopefully is soon.
Yeah.
Nah, bro, you got to go home early.
I might bring the baby. I'm going to be one of those. Yeah, you can.
What? You're at the local at 10 at night. Nah, you got to go home. You got to be home at 6, bro.
Yeah, of course. No. Look, big nights don't exist, but I'm still going to be a social dad. In my mind right now, I'm still coming and having a pub meal with you with the baby.
You are an idiot.
Parents laughing at me right now.
I was going to say. And Emily's just like going, she's like, did I choose the wrong guy?
Yeah, she's like, you ain't got the pub.
Are you ready to, do you know the number for the poison hotline?
No, I didn't even know there was a point. Do you?
If it was on this video, he goes, you're going to have to call it because kids eat all kinds of little things on the floor.
Baby proofing is a big thing.
That's a big thing.
Emily's like, have you ever thought about the sharp edges in this house? I'm like, I have not.
That's what I mean. And like leaving things on the floor.
Yeah, you got to get those little things to.
Wardrobe.
Yep. We've got underneath the sink, whereas all, I guess, our poisons are, like our Mortine, our Dettols, everything like that. We're going to have to get this little thing clamp that locks it off.
Emily told me that, especially when you get woken up abruptly, you're a big grumpy boy.
She never told you that.
She did. She told me that. How are you going to go waking up in the middle of the night? Big grumpy Angus. Am I going to feel the effects
of
work?
I'm not bad. I jump out of bed. I'm pretty good. Okay. I've never, ever hit a snooze on an alarm.
Now, I want you to just quickly get up because you control the buttons. I want you to put on the song right now. You know that? Baby shuck do 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 do
do shuck. My kids give me raise on
that's
Kanye.
That's all I'm going to say. No,
Kanye
exactly. West. Guess what I wrote down here?
Jesus album.
You are a music snob. How are you not going to get away from Baby Shark?
Nah, my kid's going to be raised on Sergeant Pepper.
Give it to me again. Play it.
No.
Just play it to me.
I'm
already
sick of it now.
Play it to me. Talk to me now. Hey, bro, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well.
You're
thanks,
man. How's life? How's the bub?
Bub's doing good.
Yeah, cool. You want to go get some beers? Oh, wait, you can't because you're a baby and you're listening to Baby Shark.
Weekend breakfast with Dylan and Angus.
Las Vegas, baby. You been to Vegas?
I have a few times.
Yeah, me too. Las Vegas is famous for a lot of things. Gambling.
Debauchery.
Big shows. Cirque du Soleil, Britney Spears, Vegas, all of that stuff. But also, getting married. Viva Las Vegas. Have you seen that Ashton Kutcher, Cameron Diaz film? What I think it's called What Happens in Vegas?
No, The Hangover is a big one for me.
Oh, of course. Great reference. Yeah.
Where he gets married and pulls his own tooth out.
That's great, right? Yeah. One of us in the studio got married in Las Vegas. Now, the reason we're talking about this is our good friend Ash London, who hosts Ash London Live on this
Shout
radio
out to
network.
Lando.
She was speaking to the Vamps, who have a new song called Married in Vegas. Under the neon lights, we might get married in Vegas. Now, Ash was speaking to all of the boys on Skype for her show, and she mentioned that she's been married in Vegas before, but guess who too?
I have something very special in common with your new song in that after a drunken night out in Vegas, me and my best mate Angus got married.
Oh, wait, you were just talking about what? Are you still married?
No, well, I'm now married to an actual man that I have sexual feelings for, as opposed to the very platonic feelings I have for Gussie. But we've got the photos and we've got the Elvis.
Can you please send us those photos? I think yes. I've seen them. I genuinely saw it. I thought it was a real thing. I was like, f*** yeah.
How long ago was this?
Right, we see. If you told us in advance, I don't know how you would have known, but that could have been the artwork for Married in Vegas. It would have been incredible.
And John Bon Jovi was married in the same wedding chapel that we were, to the same Vegas. And so were Hamish and Andy back when they were doing Caravan of Courage.
Very good.
So same person. Here's audio from Ash's YouTube video of us getting married by Elvis.
And from this day.
And from this day.
I promise to be.
I promise to be.
Your hunka-hunka burning love.
Your hunka-hunka burning love.
Yeah. So on behalf of the Grace of Wind Chapel, the suit that I wear, thank you very much. I now pronounce you husband and wife. Kiss your wife, my friend. Come on.
And then he sings that song while we kissed. I know.
Did you guys kiss?
Yeah, we kissed.
Tongue?
No. Peck on the lips and I licked her face. I was so hungover. But so is everyone who gets married in Las Vegas, right?
That hunka-hunka is cringe-worthy.
There were so many Elvis. He called me, what about this hound dog? There was so
That's
many
what you
Elvis.
Pay for.
Well, we didn't pay. We did it for a contra. So we want to know, 131060, were you married in Vegas? I know it's a long shot. I might be the only one. It wasn't an official marriage. If you're wondering, there was no need for a divorce.
We've got a 1 in 6 chance. 6 listeners.
131060, were you married in Vegas? Your call's next.
Weekend breakfast with Dylan and Angus.
We're talking about getting married in Vegas. I did reveal before, well, Ash revealed to the Vamps, a band from the UK who's got a new song called Married in Vegas that she once got married in Vegas. To me.
After a drunken night out in Vegas, me and my best mate Angus got married.
No, wait, you were just talking about what? Are you still married?
No, well, I'm now married to an actual man that I have sexual feelings for, as opposed to the very platonic feelings I have for Gussie.
Right, we see. If you told us in advance, I don't know how you would have known, but that could have been the artwork for Married in Vegas. It would have been incredible.
At that time, Ash was very single, and I was so scared that it was a real marriage and she was coming after my investment property, that I actually wrote my name wrong on the certificate.
What'd you write, Andrew?
No, I wrote A-U-G-U-S.
That August. Doesn't get you out of it, though.
Pardon?
That wouldn't get you out of
and
it.
And I did a different signature.
There's footage of you there.
Nah.
She could still get that property.
It was like a certificate. Hamish and Andy got the same one when they did Caravan of Courage. Trust me, not married. So we're asking 13 10 60. Might be a long shot. Were you married in Vegas?
Oh, we got Peter in Pakenham. Peter, did you get married in Vegas?
Woo! G'day, fellas. Yeah, I did. Obviously, I'm called up because I got married in Vegas.
Yeah, what happened?
Oh, I was on a trip with the boys, so I married in Vegas. And the worst thing was we're driving there from LA, and we were kind of, the vibe was down, so to kind of lift us up a bit, we stopped at one of those like big gas station things, and America being the beautiful country that it is, there was a spray tan place next to the petrol station. So I went and got the darkest spray tan I could and proposed to my mate. And when we got into Vegas, went straight to the chapel, and vibe was much higher.
Just to lift the spirits, you got officially married.
Oh, it's nice.
Been traveling the States for 2 months, and a few of us were getting on each other's nerves, and I thought, this isn't right. So
lift the vibe before hitched. The big days.
Yeah, we got hitched, and that was all good. Vibe was high for probably 2-3 days till I realized what we actually did, and then told our families. And then
still together?
Yeah. Still together, yeah.
Oh, listen, it didn't last. The trip did, but, you know, must have been one of those, you know, the honeymoon period ended. It lasted just longer than the spray tan, I guess.
Yeah, very good.
Very good. Thanks, Pete. Cliff in Kalgoorlie, WA, you got married in Vegas.
Gay boys, yeah. I was at a pool party in Vegas.
What Republic?
This girl. Mm. Yeah, she was one of the best-looking girls I've ever seen, and she was on the same level as me, and then we both ended up, one thing led to another, getting married.
One thing? Led to another, you can't say. What, one drink led to another, you mean?
So one day in between meeting and marriage, how long?
No. The same night. Like, we're at the party.
Oh, it's a classic story.
How did you go about getting the divorce?
We're still together.
Wow.
It's been 2.5 years since that massive night. Whoa. And we're both in the same sort of boat, and just ended up, we're good now. We're still good.
We've just been nonstop bagging Las Vegas weddings, and then you come out and say that they actually work. That's beautiful to hear.
Yeah. She moved over here a year later. We sorted out a fair few things in between, but it was a bit of a process and whatnot. But we're pretty happy now.
Congratulations.
That's a great way to end it.
Did not expect that. Well done, mate.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
Weekend breakfast with Dylan and Angus.
It's always tough during a pandemic to find some good news. Seems to be nothing but fresh corona cases, clusters around the country. More restrictions being brought into South Australia, but you always have this. It's good news, deal.
Yeah, you know, I was going to not make this such a big deal, but, seeing as we're talking about babies.
Hmm. You got some good news, deal. You and Shanti are?
Chantel and I? Yeah, not having a baby yet, but no. One day.
One day?
Yeah.
You can joint. Make it soon so our kids can be friends.
Hey, bro, that's legit. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be good.
Should we have a crack?
I think you should.
We'll practice at least.
Well, here's the thing. You got a dog, Sauce Alcott, your little miniature Dachshund sausage dog.
Oh, God, he's needy.
It's kind of like an interim. You get some leeway for a couple of years because, you've got the same responsibility. Not the same, but it takes, responsibilities.
I'm not going to compare a dog to
of course,
a baby, but
either
it takes responsibilities.
Of course it does.
Like, it takes some time.
So you got some time, but, get cracking. I know Shanti was so excited by the news when we told her last week, so... Yeah. I reckon she might be a bit clucky, especially when she holds our baby for the first time in February.
A few people dropping around you because of it, which is beautiful. Means you have some friends. Now, this week's good news deal goes to an absolute mystery legend, because mystery surrounds the identity of the person who has been sending bunches of flowers to Lismore businesses in a show of support during trying times. So Lismore, their CBD was hit by, you remember those hectic floods in 2017?
Yeah, God, I don't mean to be rude, but...
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Remember up in North Queensland?
And I hate that we all just forget the news. Today's news is tomorrow's fish and chip paper.
So they're still rebuilding from the floods, right?
Right.
Pandemics hit them.
Shout-outs to them.
All the businesses have closed down.
Yep.
So there's a mystery person who's been sending $50 bunches of flowers to all the businesses affected by the COVID pandemic. So business has been down so low, the local florist has been getting like... an order of flowers every day from a mystery person to send out to someone in need.
It's amazing.
That goes out.
What a great act of generosity.
God, people are doing some nice things in these trying times.
Can I also say, I miss small town feels.
Yep.
We live in Melbourne. It's a big city, second biggest in Australia. It just doesn't have that sort of sense of community. I'm in a great street.
I think it did the first lockdown, man.
Okay.
I think the first lockdown, we're all getting around each other.
This one just seems angry, man.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Like everyone yelling at each other for wearing masks, not wearing masks. Yeah.
And if anyone's doing it tough, it's definitely hit people's mental health a lot.
Yeah, and please reach out to Lifeline as well, 13, 11, 14.
For sure.
But I just feel like those small towns, and I've lived in them, like I grew up in one. I've worked in radio in small towns. Like I lived in Launceston. I remember there's a real sense of community. Yeah,
and they, as per this example, really lead by example.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot to be learned. And make sure, you know, if you do see someone in need, you can help them out. Or these little random acts of kindness are pretty important right now.
Absolutely.
Because they really can brighten up people's day.
That's our show done for another week. We'll be back on the air next week where I will be announcing the gender of my baby.
I don't think it's not politically correct to do that at the moment.
Oh, don't get me started on this. If I want to say I've got a girl or a boy, I'm going to say I've got a girl or a boy. Because guess what? The test came back with a gender.
But it's their decision.
Hey, they can make that decision if they choose to down the line. But at the time, they'll get a girl or a boy name. That'd be a girl or a boy. They can decide whether they want to be whatever they want to when they get to that point. But for the first few years, my name,
mate,
my gender.
You're having a baby. Congrats, Brandon.
Thanks, Matt. We'll be on the air next week to tell you what it is or what he or she is. I shouldn't say it.
It? Yeah, it's it at the moment.
At the it. Well, then I can say she or he.
It until you announce it.
Okay, cool.
Guess what?
What?
I already know.
You do know.
Want some more? Check out more Catch Up podcasts on the Hit app now and be listening to Weekend Breakfast with Dylan and Angus, Saturdays and Sundays from 7 to 9 on the Hit Network.